On NFL Live, reporting breaking news. This coming from Adrian Wojnarowski, reporting with Ramona Shelburne that the Brooklyn Nets have acquired Houston's James Harden in a blockbuster deal. The Nets get another all-NBA player in his prime, getting Harden, KD together, and Kyrie Irving, depending on what happens there.
You know an NBA trade is big when NFL Live stops their coverage to report it. And yesterday's blockbuster was also a soap opera, with James Harden heading to the Brooklyn Nets, joining Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and shaking up the entire sport. Today, one of the reporters who broke the story, Ramona Shelburne, takes us inside a deal that felt like it might never happen. And she details what comes next. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Thursday, January 14th. This is ESPN Daily. Ramona, I've been waiting to talk to you all day. Is there a word, just a single word, that you would use to describe what your day of breaking this James Harden trade was like?
A word, just one word. I would just say madness.
Ramona Shelburne is an NBA insider for ESPN. She's been covering the league for almost two decades.
There's always this like moment of truth when a trade comes to be. Woj and I had been working on this for weeks. Obviously, everybody involved had been working for weeks. And then there's that moment when it gets right down to it. And it's the same for everybody on all sides, the people covering it, the people involved, the teams involved saying yes or no. And, you know, it always takes longer. So if they tell you, hey, I think we should have something in the next few minutes, it, you know, or we're going to decide soon, it's probably going to be like an hour longer. And this one was like 3 hours of pretty white knuckle tension between Philadelphia and Brooklyn.
So, Ramona, I want to pull back the curtain with you in a minute, but just to break down what the final terms were so everybody is caught up. James Harden has been traded to Brooklyn. Give me the rundown of who's going where, who's getting what, all of that aspect of the madness.
So in the simplest possible terms, right, James Harden goes to Brooklyn and James Harden plays with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Is that simple? That's what you need to know, right? That's what's happening.
Yes.
Brooklyn, okay, Brooklyn is giving up a whole lot. Right? If, you know, they basically gave up, you know, the rest of their team and all the rest of their draft picks and pick swaps and all of that. And I think the part that was the most complicated was at the end when the Houston Rockets traded Caris LeVert, who they were acquiring from the Nets, to Indiana for Victor Oladipo. That was an interesting little wrinkle that I think happened late. But I think the draft pick haul is what's Is that what made your eyes pop out?
Yeah, explain that for us, Ramona, because there are the draft picks, there are the four first rounders, but there's also pick swaps. So explain what a pick swap is for those who aren't in our tribe. Like, explain what the haul was.
There's been a bunch of trades lately where Drew Holiday would be another one, Anthony Davis. And what teams have now started to do is when they're going to trade a superstar, they want building blocks, they want pieces that they can win with now, but they also want, they're betting on the future. And the more high first-round draft picks that you can accumulate, and really any first-round draft pick, but high ones, unprotected ones, are best. So they get picks in every other year. So Brooklyn trades unprotected first-round draft picks in 2022, 2024, and 2026. They also get Cleveland's 2022 pick. So that's two first-round picks in next year's draft. That's a lot. And then a pick swap means you get to choose your pick or their pick. Like, in other words, the Rockets say, okay, our pick is number 10 and Brooklyn is number 7. We want Brooklyn's pick. Now, what you're betting on when you're the Nets and you agree to these pick swaps is that, hey, we just got James Harden. We're going to be really good for a long time. I'm willing to wager that our first round pick is not going to be as good as Houston's for as long as James Harden and Kevin Durant are there. If you're Houston, you look at that and say, okay, you're probably right about 2021 and 2023, but hey, 2025 and 27, when those guys are much older, maybe that's when Brooklyn falls off. And they got the number one pick. And this little trade that you just made all the way back here in 2021 comes back and is a lot more valuable.
Ramona, I can't think past tomorrow, let alone to 2025. So let's take a breath here. Let's get back into how the hell all of this came together on Wednesday. Pull back the curtain for me. Tell me, when did you first get word that this was going to happen?
Yesterday. I thought yesterday things were really escalating and there was a lot of talk between, it was coming to a head. It felt like the negotiations between, and there was really three teams, okay? There was the Sixers, the Brooklyn Nets, and the Boston Celtics. The Celtics kind of ducked out. They weren't in it at the end. There were also a handful of other teams that weren't on James Harden's preferred list. They were interested, but obviously Houston was trying to deal with the teams that James had expressed an interest in or said he was comfortable with. And those teams were willing to give up more because if James Harden wants to go there, then theoretically you have a better chance of keeping him beyond the 2 years on his contract that he has left. It seemed like things were heating up last night. And I kind of got this sense that it was going to come to a head in the morning. And for me, that was funny because I was considering having, you know, I have a back issue. So I have like a doctor's appointment and it was like at 1 o'clock Pacific time. And I was just like, so can you guys get this trade done before I have my big doctor's appointment?
Right? Wait a minute. You were contemplating back surgery while breaking this trade?
Yes. I was literally standing outside the surgeon's office and my appointment was at one. And I think if you go back and you check my tweets, like I think I tweeted something about 1:05 because that's when we got the final word. And I was like, excuse me, I have to take this call. It was pretty funny. And that involved a quick call to Woj who could get another confirm. And then we went. And there's just so many things that happen in these blockbuster deals. But what I think is kind of interesting is when it came down to it, it really was Philadelphia and Brooklyn. And those are the two teams in the Eastern Conference that really think they have a chance to win this year, right? And really feel like James Harden is the right gamble or is a good enough gamble to go this far down the road. And for Brooklyn, this is sort of an existential choice. Like you have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Those are two superstars. But one of those two superstars has been somewhat AWOL this week. And we don't know how that situation is going to resolve.
Well, that's so fascinating, Ramona, because this is sort of like, this trade is almost like the tip of this iceberg. And underneath the surface is the Kyrie Irving story. Just set the stakes for me. Like, in your understanding around the league, how are people seeing his absence? What is on the table in terms of like, what's going on there?
Well, you know, it's really hard as a reporter, Pablo, because, you know, there's so many wild stories that go around, right? So, like, I don't want to recklessly throw anything out, but I also know that the Nets need to know, like, what they're getting from Kyrie. Where is he? I mean, is he on the Zoom call with the politician last night in the middle of the game? Are you wanting to play basketball right now? Do you need a break? Are you in the video at your sister's birthday? Like, there's a lot of behavior that's hard to explain, and you have to really take a disciplined approach as a reporter when you work on stuff like this, because it's really sensitive. But that what's hard if you're the Nets is you've got to make franchise altering decisions.
Right.
I think when they did the final analysis of it, they said we're getting three superstars. And if one of those superstars, if it's Kyrie Irving, or, you know, if it's somebody's got an injury or whatever it is, if one of them isn't up to par, we still got two more. Okay. So I think the persuasive last tipping point that Brooklyn finally got to on this was you have a chance to get James Harden. The guy's led the league in scoring for 3 years in a row. He's 31, still firmly in his prime. You know, he's been an MVP as recently as 2 years ago. This isn't Russell Westbrook where you have some questions about health issues, right? Like, you know, athleticism or shooting. Like, James Harden's James Harden. He's great. He could probably be like this when he's 40 because, as we all know, he's got old man game, right? Okay, he doesn't need to rely on his athleticism. He'll be getting fouled when he's 55 at the park.
Yeah, Ramona, the way Harden plays basketball is so deliberate and it is strategic. And all of that makes me wonder, like, given the Kyrie backdrop, it sounds like what you're saying is that when Harden made his comments very deliberately on Tuesday night, that, you know, this wasn't going to work out, that Houston and him, this was sort of fated, it was doomed, basically. Like, did that matter at all? Like, why did he say that? Did that have any impact on the deal?
I think it had some impact, and I think it was calculated. I think that Harden was feeling like, you know, you've got a couple of really good offers on the table. He had been working very closely with the Rockets. He was in constant communication. His representatives, obviously at Wasserman, had been in constant communication with all the teams involved in addition to the Rockets, so he knew fully what was going on, okay? Mm. And he, you know, I think he, you know, if he needed to give the Rockets one more push to do it, that certainly worked, okay? I think they were going to do it anyway. And it's something that, you know, in the reporting of this, like he's had conversations with Tillman Fertitta, the owner of the Rockets. James Harden went to Tillman at the beginning of the season, even before the season, and said, look, I don't believe in what we're doing here. I don't think we're positioned to win. I'm not feeling it. You know, I don't feel like the direction of the franchise is the one I want to be a part of anymore. And Tillman was disappointed, of course, but he understood. And he said, okay, we'll look for a trade for you. And you know, James Harden's comments last night, did it help move things along? Probably. But I think they were already there.
All right, Ramona, after the break, I have a lot more that I want to talk to you about. And I want to look ahead as to what's happening next in Houston. And how does James Harden fit with Kevin Durant?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So, Ramona, this feels like when we should be talking about Kevin Durant, because Durant is the guy who presumably went to the Nets to play with Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving, currently MIA. Kevin Durant, now the guy in Brooklyn, except that now he's being joined by his former teammate in Oklahoma City. So where does Kevin Durant figure into this whole transaction?
I mean, this is amazing, right? I mean, if you just think about how, you know, the 6 degrees of Kevin Durant. If you go back on Kevin Durant's Twitter page, there's always an old tweet. And there was like literally a tweet from when James Harden was drafted. And it was Kevin Durant saying, "Welcome to my new teammate, James Harden," from 2009 or whatever it was. I was like, that's amazing. And I think what's amazing about where Kevin Durant fits in is, look, Kevin Durant went to Brooklyn in this sort of grand scheme with Kyrie Irving and DeAndre Jordan. Those are like the three super friends from Team USA. They were down on the cruise boat down in there in Brazil. And if you understand their relationship, Kevin Durant is really focused on basketball. He's like a hoop head. I mean, he just loves to play. And Kyrie Irving is the alpha of that group, of that friend group. Mm. When they were choosing where to play, I think Kyrie took the lead. Kyrie wanted to go to Brooklyn. And he talked DeAndre and Kevin into it. So if you're Kevin Durant now, how you feel about that? Okay. The guy who got you there, sort of MIA, you know, we don't know what's going on with him. And now you have a chance to play with your old buddy, James Harden, who he came into the league with back in Oklahoma City. I had gotten wind that James Harden and Kevin Durant had been working out together in Los Angeles, and Kevin knows what he gets with James Harden. I mean, that, you know, even when they were talking about it this summer, you know, the conversations were pretty extensive. Like, it was like mapping out how the trades would even get done. And I think the idea that Steve Nash is there in Brooklyn as the coach, Mike D'Antoni, who knows James Harden very well, I know was a big advocate for this trade. I know he feels very good about James Harden and the ability to integrate them in the offense.
Wait, hold on. That's interesting, because I wouldn't have thought, Ramona, necessarily that Mike D'Antoni, his former coach in Houston, would want to sign up for more James Harden. That would not be the most obvious conclusion to draw from the outside.
From everything I can tell you in terms of the reporting on this, I think Mike was a big advocate. Literally, Brooklyn's like, we need to know. Like, what are we getting here? What would this guy be like?
I was just going to say, there's so many people, Ramona, at Brooklyn who can do background checks on James Harden.
Yeah, right? I mean, there are. But Mike D'Antoni literally was his coach for the last few years and converted him from shooting guard to point guard. And he knows James. Like, he knows him more. So Steve Nash has always been closer with Kevin Durant. His relationship with Kevin Durant goes way back. And Mike D'Antoni's relationship with James Harden goes way back. So if you needed character witnesses, Brooklyn had them. And I think they feel good about how this is going to look together. And I think that's where Brooklyn was with, like, and you have a chance to acquire a perennial MVP candidate. You just do it.
So the window is open right now and Brooklyn is throwing itself through it. And I want to give you the skeptic's take on this. And it's fundamentally this. There is just one basketball. So how do all of these ball-dominant players plan on fitting together?
Well, I say that you and I are in the business of telling interesting stories, Pablo. And I root for the content. If you're the Nets, you've gone through all this. You've walked your way through, okay? And you've gotten to a place where you feel confident that Mike D'Antoni and his mad scientist brain can just make everything fit, because we're in an era of positionless basketball. And yeah, sure, you have three ball-dominant players who all have been in lead dog roles and now need to figure out how to share the ball. Sure, that's going to be hard, but... you know, if anybody could make it work, I'd put Mike D'Antoni on the case.
Ramona, it's so funny because James Harden says that every offseason, that he'd like to not carry the load as much. So they go get in Houston, Ty Lawson, then Chris Paul. Yeah. And it's sort of like this rotating cast of like would-be partners. And what happens? James Harden exhausts himself carrying the load at the very end every time. Granted, Kevin Durant is leagues ahead of both Chris Paul and Ty Lawson, I think it's safe to say at this point in his career. Why would this be different?
I can't sell you on that. You want me to sell you? I can't. Like, I don't know. I think it's going to be up to those guys. And, you know, we know that Kevin Durant has been able to coexist with another superstar because he did that in Golden State. He did it really well. We know that James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Durant went to the finals together when James Harden was just a six man. Okay. We know that they've played together before. They know each other. You know, Kevin Durant is such an interesting basketball player because, you know, he has so many, his guard skills, you know, but he's a 7 foot tall. I mean, James Harden makes every center that plays with him an all-star. I mean, the saddest guy in the world right now should be Christian Wood. Kevin Durant's not a center, but he can certainly play those roles and those actions. DeAndre Jordan. I wouldn't quite say Lob City because he's a little older, but it's going to be a little Lob City. Okay. This could be kind of fun, and it could also be kind of crazy, and it could also be a gigantic mess. And that's why I love the NBA.
It feels like we should now look back for a second at what James Harden just left behind, because you were contemplating back surgery. It does feel like the Houston Rockets collectively are probably looking into a similar procedure for the bus that was driven over them. What is the mood in Houston right now? How would you describe what that team is going to be dealing with going forward?
Oh, yeah, that's a bummer. Yeah, they're bummed. I mean, look, you just traded away Russell Westbrook and James Harden. Those are two MVPs. Okay. I cannot tell you how much people in Houston love James Harden. Like, you know, whatever, like he walked on water. I mean, every time somebody else would get an MVP vote, I mean, you deeply offended everybody else in Houston because you didn't vote for James. And this has really been this unraveling of Houston in the offseason has really been, I think, probably one of the bigger stories in the NBA in terms of just, you know, contenders, how they rise and fall, right? But it probably started back with the failed contract negotiations for Mike D'Antoni. It was kind of a signal to everybody that this window might be closing. And I thought they had given it one last chance with James and, you know, a new partner with Westbrook that year. But we had seen this coming, right? Like, it felt like that was the first move. And then because they didn't work it out with D'Antoni, Daryl Morey ends up leaving. And when D'Antoni and Morey leave, Westbrook and Harden are like, what's going on here? And I think there's some other, a lot of this will probably come out whenever James feels like talking about it. You know, he's tried to not, you know, air out too many of his grievances. I think that there's a lot of reasons why James wanted out, which was simply, you know, he just didn't feel like the Rockets were committed to winning. You know, there's a sadness because James Harden's he was the Rockets for so many years. He was the guy that they felt like they got one over on the Thunder. They got one over on the league, right? Because they got James Harden for what now looks to be a pretty paltry return. You know, this year has been a very slow, messy, you know, divorce. I'm sure there's sadness there because you don't get a player as good as James very often. And I think maybe when we look back on this, Pablo, as fascinating as it's going to be to see James Harden and Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving all together on one team, maybe the road not taken will be even as fascinating. And that's the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, we got to talk about this, Ramona, because there's an alternate universe in which I am talking to you with clumps of hair in my hands because the 76ers have just acquired James Harden and Daryl Morey has been reunited with his favorite player of all time. So how close were we to that alternate reality? And give me the postmortem on the Sixers.
Okay. I think I can say this on your podcast. I think it'll be okay. I'm not betraying your confidence. So I think the 76ers are just fine. They're happy. Like, they were intrigued by this idea, because obviously Daryl Morey knows how good James Harden is. And I think they were really intrigued by the idea of what he would do for Joel Embiid. We'll never know, okay? We're never going to know what that would have been, right? That was really intriguing. But they really had been playing well with Joel and Ben Simmons. They really had. And, you know, I talked to Joel Embiid just a couple days ago. And he was really talking about Ben Simmons and how much they've gotten along this year. Like, they really have connected this year. And so now we get to see what actually happens with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. So there's going to be this alternate universe, right? There's the one universe where it's Joel Embiid and James Harden. And oh my God, he's got this amazing 3-point shooter. And now we're still in the same universe where we get to see the experiment of the process all the way through. I felt like we were like watching a scripted series and we're like 4 episodes in and it's 6 episodes and I want to see what episodes 5 and 6 are. Is it going to be like The Undoing where episode 6 was just really kind of unsatisfying? Or is it going to be like Bridgerton where they, I don't want to ruin it for everybody.
Spoiler alert. Ramona, I just feel like there are like 10 more episodes. We're not even close to done. Ramona Shelburne, thank you for putting ESPN Daily on your back and explaining all of the madness of today.
You got it, Pablo.
Okay, up next. James Harden may be leaving Houston, but there are some folks in town who still have very high hopes for number 13.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Here's another story I want you to know. We all know how hard it is to break into the restaurant business. There's tons of competition, market tastes and trends can change almost overnight, basically. And that's just in normal times when there isn't this whole global pandemic thing. But I don't know if I've ever heard of a place with a more uphill battle than 13, which is the latest entry into Midtown Houston's more upscale dining scene, and also the first restaurant of number 13 himself, James Harden. 13 is slated to open next week. And per their website, it's committed to creating guests for life that are loyal to the 13 brand. And while Harden took care in his press conference Tuesday night to say he loved the city of Houston, something tells me that Yelp reviewers might not be feeling that lifetime loyalty or that love. The kitchen at 13 will be helmed by a former Jackson State running back who goes by the name of Chef Tobias. And he carved out a niche cooking for NFL receiver Santana Moss before eventually convincing Harden to give him free rein in designing 13's menu. And entrees reportedly include a deep-fried four-layer lasagna, a dry-aged tomahawk steak with shallot and pineapple compound butter, and something called a sun devil, a nod of sorts to Harden's time at Arizona State, which involves roasted oysters topped with creamed collard greens and candied bacon. All of which honestly sounds delicious, and in fairness to Chef Tobias and his staff, who are undoubtedly working tirelessly to make 13 a success in Houston, it's not their fault that their boss is just another bearded millennial hoping to find himself in Brooklyn now. So here's to a grand opening for 13, because Lord knows it's not easy in the restaurant business right now. And also, changing the name to Victor Oladipo plus 4 unprotected first-round draft picks just doesn't quite have the same ring to it. I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.